Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, for our program today, you've been asked a question that you said to answer it requires you to respond with a fair amount of what you say as well as what Scripture says.
Yes, Scott. And I always want to stress that what matters is not what I say, but what Scripture says. So when I'm asked something that requires my opinion,
based on what you can glean from the Bible.
Well, yes, thanks, Scott. I endeavor to always use Scripture to come up with an opinion, and using whatever applicable revelation I can find, I try and formulate an answer that is consistent with other positions I'm convinced of that are related to the issue in some way. So, Scott, with that important caveat, let's hear the question, and I'll share some Scripture related to it as well as my answer.
Okay, this question is from someone I think is a Harbor Light listener because he lives in Grenada, and his name is Leroy St. Jean, and he writes, "Hello to you all. How would you respond to someone who asks, when was Satan created? And when did the rebellion of the angels take place? Before creation, during the 6 days of creation, or after creation week?"
All right. So I want to thank Leroy for his question. It really is exciting that our listener from Grenada has written in a question, and it's actually one that many people wonder about. And so to answer, first, we can be certain that the angels, including Lucifer, aka Satan, were created because we're specifically told that in Colossians 1, verse 16, which says, quote, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him," unquote. So, things in heaven or invisible or dominions, these would all include the angels. And in Ezekiel 28:13 through 15, which is speaking of the Satan, it also says, quote, "On the day that you were created, you were the anointed cherub who covers. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you," unquote. So, Satan being an angel was surely created when all the angels were created. And by the way, he wouldn't have been created with the name Satan, which in Hebrew means adversary.
Which is why we sometimes say the Satan.
That's right.
Okay, so the angel known to become the Satan was created. Scripture tells us that clearly, but the timing of it is what Leroy was asking.
Yes, Scott, we're getting there. I'm establishing what we know for certain before we get into the speculative stuff. So secondly, I think we can be pretty certain from Scripture that the creation of the angelic hosts would have been before the creation of the material heavens and earth, or at least the actions of God described in Genesis 1:1 would include the creation of the angels. I would explain it this way. The creation of the heavenly realm of angels was most likely the first action taken by God when he began the creation of everything.
Well, it makes sense that, given how much the phrase heavens and earth would include in Genesis 1:1, there surely would have been some kind of sequence as God created them.
Right. And even though the Bible doesn't specifically state it that way, I think we can infer with some certainty that angels were created before the earth. And that's because in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7, God asks Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, morning stars and sons of God are descriptions of angelic beings in the book of Job. Thus, those created morning stars and sons of God had to have been there observing and marveling, by the way,
of course,
as God created the foundation of the earth. And I would assert that that was on day one. I mean, it makes sense to me that when God started the formation of planet Earth, as in building any structure of any size, you begin with the foundation, right?
Exactly.
So, as part of the description in Genesis 1:1, which says God created the heavens and the earth, when God created the earth, step one on day one was laying its foundation, and the angels watched it happen. So, as you pointed out, there was a sequence. Step one, the heavenly realm, the supernatural realm of angels, then the material, what we would call the natural realm of the earth, or more specifically, the foundation of the Earth.
Okay, Dr. Scripture, what do you think that would have been? I mean, today we understand the Earth has a core, and the mantle is on top of that, and then the crust rests on the mantle. What part of that would be the foundation, per se?
Well, Scott, that's a good question, and that takes some speculation. But it's interesting that in the description God gives in Job 38, when talking about the creation of the earth, God uses three terms, or could we say he describes three layers? I only read specific portions of Job 38, verses 4 and 7. So now what I'll do is read the entirety of verses 4 through 6. Quote, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who set its measurements, since you know, or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone?" Unquote.
So you're saying the foundation, bases, and cornerstone are the three layers that we call the core, mantle, and crust.
Well, I'm saying it's possible,
okay,
Scott. It's certainly not clearly stated by any means, but it does sound to me like God is describing the process of building a structure. In this case, the Earth, with one feature upon another, which results in the stable planetary structure we have today.
So which is the core and which is the crust?
Well, frankly, I'm not sure how they described these things in the ancient Near East, and I certainly don't think they understood there was a core and a mantle and a crust. But I'd say the foundation would be the most basic or lowest level of the Earth, which would be what we call the Earth's core. But that's just my opinion, and in contrast to my opinion, if I understand what the late Dr. Henry Morris thought, he believed the foundation referred to the crust of the earth, and as a result of that interpretation, he believed God was talking about the third day of creation in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7, which then would allow for the possibility that the angels were created anytime from day 1 to 3. But Scott, I read the entirety of Job chapters 38 through 40, where God starts speaking to Job, and I think God is essentially describing his work in creation starting at the very beginning, at day one. And therefore, when God says, "When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy," I think God is describing the creation on day one, which began with the angels, and they watched God create the substance of the earth.
And like you said, they were impressed.
And so should we be. But now, as for the second part of Leroy's question, when did Satan rebel? I think we can only speculate about this, although the way he asks the question, quote, "before, during, or after creation week," unquote, we can probably be pretty sure that Satan did not fall before or during the creation week, because God described all that he had made was very good at the end of the sixth day in Genesis 1:31. But how long after that did the rebellion occur? Well, since we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden before the scene in Genesis 3 when the serpent tempts Eve, we don't know when within that period the devil fell. And it is possible that the description of all that he had made in Genesis 1:31 could simply refer to the material creation. However, I think that's unlikely.
So, Dr. Scripture, since we know that Satan was created, perfect, and then fell, and we know that from some of those verses you read earlier, might not there be something in those verses that would at least give us a clue about the timing of his rebellion?
Well, let's look more closely at those passages. The two main passages describing Satan's fall are in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. So let's read Isaiah 14, 12 through 19. You go ahead and start, Scott.
Okay. "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations.
But you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north.'
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.
Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit.
Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms?
Who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home?'
All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb.
But you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain who are pierced with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a trampled corpse. And then, after that description of the fall of Satan, we read another very similar passage, Scott, and it's in Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 19. Go ahead.
Okay, it begins, "Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared.
You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire.
You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you.
By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire.
Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you.
By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you.
All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more." Now, I suppose someone could say the description of the fall of Lucifer, now the Satan that we read in those verses in Isaiah 14, are possibly referring to a supernatural realm, or that the Eden described in Ezekiel 28:13 was a heavenly place, or even that when Satan was cast from the mountain of God in Ezekiel 28:16, it was not describing anything earthly. But then in verse 17, when God says, quote, "I cast you to the ground," unquote, it just seems to me that those are references to earth, which places Satan's fall after the creation week. And since, when he was finished creating the earth and everything in it, God pronounced everything very good, I think we can make the conclusion that Satan's fall and the rebellion of the angels that followed him happened sometime after the creation week. How long it took, we have no way of knowing. But one thing we do know, Adam and Eve hadn't even had children yet, so it doesn't seem like it could have been very long.
That is sad and tragic.
Yeah, it sure is. And what Lucifer was wanting to do was usurp God's throne, and when he couldn't, he wanted them to destroy the beautiful creation God had put Adam and Eve in charge of. It seems almost unthinkable. Here they were the stewards of paradise, and that wasn't good enough for Adam and Eve, but instead they chose to be in league with the devil. And all who are born of Adam, unless they are born again, are described this way by Jesus himself in John 8:44. "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.